Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma Samech Aleph. We are on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. We are starting today with the words Zibayilahu, five lines down from the top of the Amud. Gemara is going to be continuing its discussion. We're here in the eighth parak of the Masechta. Eighth parak of Nedarim is a short parak, but thematically connected to Parakim's number 7 and 6, and that is definition of words. So we know the rule already at the beginning of the sixth parak of the Masechta. So we were introduced. The rule is that when it comes to Nedarim, Hochanach Halashim B'nei Adam, we're going to be following the neder. The person is trying to make an isser, a personal isser for himself, and we're going to be following the neder based on common usage of the words. Language is going to be defined not objectively, but rather based on our current usage of the words and how they currently are interpreted. So current interpretation of the words is the principled rule of nedarim. That's called Hochanach Halashim B'nei Adam. And so the Mishnayos go step by step, parak by parak, parakim 6, 7, and 8 all dedicate themselves to this topic of understanding what is considered Lashem B'nei Adam. The 8th parak right now is dealing with a question of time, meaning I make a neder within a certain time. I say, for example, Hayom. I say Yom Echad. So what's meant with the word Hayom? What's meant with the word Yom Echad? Well, those questions were answered yesterday in the opening mission of the 8th parak. So when you say Hayom, you mean to the end of today. So in other words, right now it is 7:12 in the morning. And I say Hayom, so Hayom takes me to the end of today. If I say Yom Echad, so that's a unit of time. That's a unit of a day. So 7:12 today, now 7:13. So that means to say, when I say Yom Echad, so that's now going to take me to 7:13 tomorrow morning. That's Me'es Le'es. And the same thing is true regarding Shabbos. Shabbos meaning not the day of Shabbos. Shabbos meaning the week. And Chodesh and Shana and even Shavuot. Stay tuned, because in just a moment, the Gemara is going to open up the discussion regarding Yovel. And what do I mean when I say the word Yovel? Okay, good. You are definitely committing yourself to a long time. That's coming up in just a moment. So good. So in the course of today's daf, so what we're going to be going over is other units of time and trying to wrap our heads around what exactly is meant when it comes to other units of time as well, specifically that of Yovel. That's going to really occupy almost the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today. And then a question at the end of the Mishnah, because the end of the Mishnah, You made an ed up until Pesach. So what did you mean when you said ad ha Pesach, right? Up until Pesach. Well, that actually was pretty clear. When we get to the second half of the Mishnah, and when we get to the second half of today's daf, I'll introduce a little bit more. So stay tuned. That's coming up also in just a little bit. And then we're going to get to a Mishnah. I don't think I'm going to start the Mishnah, the new Mishnah today on the Amud Beis. I think I'll save it for tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a lot of Agadot to look forward to. Anyway, let's get underway. So today's daf is Samach Aleph, or in Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Just quickly, in terms of what we finished off yesterday, what if I said the word Yom? Meaning in the Mishnah, so we dealt with the words Yom Echad, the expression Yom Echad, and we dealt with the expression Hayom. And those are clear. Hayom is to the end of today. Yom Echad is a unit of 24 hours. But what if you just simply say the Yom by itself? The Gemara litigated, the Gemara tried to wrap its head around what exactly is meant with the word Yom by itself. And the Gemara came out to no maskana. And if you take a look at the Ran over here, the Ran tells you where we stand in terms of the halacha. If a person says yom, but we're going to go on. Ibai lehu. Good. So that takes us exactly to where we are now in the Gemara. In the Gemara, Ibai lehu. Samachal Famadal, five lines on the top of the Amud. Amar, Yain Sheni Tom Yovel. So, what if I say Yovel? And that is that I'm now really in for a long commitment of abstinence. I am not interested in having wine, not for the entirety of this Yovel. Now, of course, we all know Yovel is a 50-year cycle, and we all know the general schedule, and that is it's going to be Shemitah, followed then by Shemitah, seven-year cycle. You do that 7 times, and then after that, that's, of course, 49 years, and then the 50th year, Shnas HaYovel. That's the 50th year. Okay, that part's easy, that we all know. Here is where it gets a little bit complicated, and that is that the 50th year now, what is it, standalone year, independent now of the entire, the next Shemitah cycle. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is that no, that Yovel really now is included, incorporated within the next Shemitah cycle. It's not a standalone year, meaning it's a Yovel year plus on top of that. Also, it's the year number one of the next Shemitah cycle. Now, what do we know? So hopefully you've been around Shas long enough to know. You've been in the Daf Yomi long enough to know. That's a Machlokas. It's a Machlokas HaTanaim, exactly how to view Yovel. Whether Yovel is a standalone year, that's possibility number one, or possibility number two, no. In other words, Yovel is a significant year. It marks a number of things. All Eved Ivers return back, get freed and liberated. The Eved Ivri Le'olam. all lands are going to go back to their original owners, meaning lots are going to happen in Yovel. But at the same time also, it's, in other words, it's just simply year number one of the next Shemitah cycle. Which, by the way, in other words, if you follow the math, this is not hard math. If you're following the math now, so that means that either Yovel is going to be a 50-year cycle or Yovel is going to be a 49-year cycle. Right? Depends on how you're counting that Yovel year. And so ultimately then it's going to become a general machlokis in terms of when we go from Yovel to Yovel to Yovel. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the beginning, right, in that first parak over there, right, does the math. In other words, when you're jumping from one Yovel to the next, so are you jumping in units of 50 or are you jumping in units of 49? Good. All that is background information to our discussion over here. So, and it goes without saying that nowadays we don't observe Yovel, meaning we do observe Shemitah, but even as we observe Shemitah nowadays, that's only Midin Darabanan. That's not Midin Daraisa. But we don't even observe the Yovel year nowadays. And so to us, all this becomes academic. But from the standpoint of a neder, so now when a person makes a neder and he says, I'm going to be abstinent from wine until Yovel, so now the question is going to be the very simple question that we've been asking time and again. I said a full week, does that include Shabbos? I said a full month, what does that say regarding Rosh Chodesh? I say a full year, what does that say regarding the upcoming Rosh Hashanah? Include or not include? So it's going to be the same question. All we're doing now is just discussing it on the macro of I say Yovel. And does that include the 50th year or does that not include the 50th year? That's the Gemara's question. Let's see it together inside.
He was my age when he made his
Right. And where is he? In other words, how long a commitment is he looking?
When he made it,
so. We're assuming right now that he's, in other words, they're observing Yovel. In other words, in the Gemara's question, they're observing Yovel, and they're somewhere within the cycle. Okay, they're in year 20, year 30. This is the way the Ram presents it. They're in year 20, they're in year 30 of the cycle. Wherever they are, somewhere in the cycle. And now, certainly, once you get up to the Yovel year, certainly you're bound by the Neder. What about the actual Yovel year itself? Good, so you buy Lu. So Amar Yanshani Tom Yovel, my. Shnasa Chamishim Kilifnei Chamishim O Kalacher Chamishim. Good, so this is exactly the question. What is it going to be, the status of year 50 vis-a-vis his neder? Now again, by the way, we get to that point in the Gemara where I am always going to be torn and confused here in Nedarim, because it really is a predicate of what? What is Lashon B'nei Adam? Meaning that's what we've been learning now for Prakim 6, 7, and now 8. For three consecutive Prakim, in other words, it's really just a question of what is how do people talk, right, up to Yovel. Okay, so in other words, so what does that mean generally? And what the Gemara does over here, and again, it's definitely confusing, and what the Gemara does over here is that it ties it to a halachic discussion regarding the status of the Yovel year. And so probably what you have to say, and I'm going to try to say this, is that what the halacha is going to do is influence our thinking in terms of how we talk to one another. Meaning that it's not a halachic discussion, obviously it is, but in terms of Lashem B'nei Adam is going to be guided and influenced by what the halacha is. That's probably how you have to say over the Gemara over here. Because again, really, it boils down to what is considered Lashem B'nei Adam. And apparently the halacha is going to govern what is Lashem B'nei Adam. You have to say something like that. Okay, I just tried saying it. Anyway, Tashma, Netanya. Plukta de Rav Yehuda v'Rabban. And so here we go. The Gemara introduces us to the very basic machlokas between the Tanayim. V'kidashtem. Eshnas Chamishim Shana. So we're in the Torah, we're in Parshas Bahar, we're being introduced to the 50th year. Shnas Chamishim Atamona V'Atamona Shnas Chamishim V'Achas. So what you're going to do is you're going to count year 50, and what you're not going to do is that you're not going to count 51. So the in other words, Mikan Amru Yovel Ein Ola L'Minyan Shavua. So that means to say that what Shemitah is not going to do is not going to count towards the upcoming cycle. So meaning to say that Yovel is going to be a standalone year. So so that means to say that you're going to be observing Shemitah, which is year 7. In other words, and on top of that, that was the 7th Shemitah, which is now means that's also year 49. And then what you're going to do the next year is you're going to count 50. And then after that, what you're going to do is you're going to count 1. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yovel Ola L'Minyan Shavua. And Rav Yehuda disagrees, and he says no. That what Yovel is going to do is that Yovel is going to also count towards your Minyan Shavua, meaning it will be year 50, and it's going to be your year one of the upcoming cycle as well. Good. So Ola Lakan Ola Lakan. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So what we have over here is a basic machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Good. And then, in other words, just we're obviously going to do the next lines of the Gemara, but then basically we're going to then plug it in. Meaning, if Yovel is a standalone year, so it really represents now what? The end of the count. In other words, it's an end. And so when I say that I'm not going to have wine until Yovel, right? In other words, that's going to include Yovel as well. On the other hand, if I follow the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, where Yovel now is year 50, but it's also year one of the upcoming cycle, so that means that really Yovel now is part of the next cycle. And so that means to say, when I say up until Yovel, it means not up to, but not including Yovel. Good. So what the Gemara now is hinging is that this question of when I say, I'm not having wine for the end of till Yovel, so it's going to be a predicate of this machlok between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Good. Now what the Gemara is going to do at this point in time is just give us the hemshech of the Braisa. Meaning, we pretty much now know how to shape the machlokus of when I say, no wine until Yovel, but now the end of the Braisa happens to go over a back and forth between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Amr Lola Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chachamim say, Rabbi Yehuda, Harei Omer, Sheshanim Tizra Sadecha, Ein Kanela Chamish. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, look, your position's untenable. Why? Because let's think about your position. Your position has what? So in the year immediately after Yovel, how many years are you going to be able to plant? You think the number is six? It's not six. It's five. Why? Because according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, year one is a non-planting year because that's a Yovel year. And Yovel has the same halachas as Shemitah, which means that year 49 you weren't planting. And year one, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, year one is the first year of the next cycle. So year one, you're not planting. And obviously in that cycle, year one, you're not planting. And year seven, you're not planting because year seven is called Shemitah. So what do I have in between 1 and 7? I only have 5 years. And so I only have 5 years, and what do you do with the pasuk? The pasuk says, Sheish Shanim Tizra Sadecha. You're going to be planting for 6 years. And according to you, the first year, every first Shemitah cycle after Yovel, it's not going to be a 6 year planting. It'll be a 5 year planting. In other words, you can't ignore the pasuk. Good. So, Ein Kan El Chamish. So Amar Lehem LeDivrechem. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Chachamim, okay, I'm going to counter. And that is the following. Let's go with your Shita. Harei Omer V'yaseh Tvul L'Shaloshanim. So what you're going to do is that you're going to be planting for 3 years, meaning in anticipation of a Yovel year. So what you're going to need now is 3 years of crop. Now how do we get to the number three? Because consider, in other words, year 49 is going to be Shemitah. The year after that, now here, the truth of the matter is, the year after that, according to everybody, meaning that is not a function of Machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, meaning the year after that is Yovel, according to everybody, the year after that is Yovel. And so that's another year in which you can't plant. So you're going to be approaching a 49th year, a 50th year, which you're not allowed to plant. And so therefore, when is the next time after that you're going to be able to plant? The year afterwards. Okay. So therefore, what you need is you're going to need a significant bumper crop on the year prior. And what the Torah is basically telling us is, check. It's going to happen. Meaning, right, obviously, the Torah is operating with a system in which we know that there are 2 years in which we're not going to be planting. And so there's going to be a significant bumper crop. So what Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Chachamim is that if you're so worried about accounting, let's take the following into consideration. So the Torah says 3 years, and Arekan Arba. But it's not really 3 years, it's really 4 years. And the Ran does the accounting for us, the math for us. It basically comes out like this. What am I looking at? So in other words, I'm planting in year 48. Okay? And I'm planting in year 48. What do I need the crops for? I need it for year 48, meaning, right? We need to eat this year, right? We can't skip year 48. And I need those crops also for year 49. I need those crops also for year 50. And I also need those crops for year 51. Because 51, we are starting to plant anew. So in other words, until everything is harvested in year 51, so we're not going to have any food other than the food that we had all the way, that we all planted all the way back in year 48. So that's 48, 49, 50, and 51. So that's 4 years. So you're so bothered by the Lashon HaTorah, where the Torah says 3 years, 3 years is not really 3 years, 3 years is really 4 years. So it doesn't bother me so much that the Torah says you're planting for 6 years. 6 years sometimes becomes 5 years. It doesn't bother me. Okay. So Hare Kanarba Ella the Ikalukma Bishar Shay Shavua. So in other words, what we're saying over here is that Shar Shnei Shavua, meaning that the 3 year mention of the Torah is talking about other Shemitah years, meaning when Yovel's not taken into consideration. So then the number 3 is significant. Why? Because I'm planting in year 49 for the 49th year, the 50th year. And again, I didn't mean that. In other words, when I'm planting in a regular, for a regular Shemitah, it's going to be I'm planting year 6, for year 6, for year 7, and also for the year following. In other words, I need for 3 years. So when the Torah says the number 3, it means most of the time I'm going to need 3 years. And then when I get to a Shemitah Yovel, I need 4 years. So Rav Yehuda says in his own defense, same thing by me. Meaning the Torah says that I'm planting for 6 years. Yeah. In other words, 6 out of 7 of the Shemitah cycles, I'm planting for 6 years. Year 1, I'm planting. And year 1 through 6, I'm planting. Okay, so in the year immediately following a Yovel, so I'm skipping that first year because year number 1 is Yovel. And that cycle, I'm only planting 5, doesn't bother me. Meaning you're right. That one Shemitah out of the 7 is not going to be a 6-year cycle. Good. The Torah is not accounting for every Shemitah cycle. Good. So that is the back and forth between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Okay, meaning it's great. In other words, a great dialogue between the two of them. How do each one of them deal with the Psukim? But the point is that the original question of the Gemara remains unaffected. Meaning the Gemara's question is, when I say no wine for the end till the end of this Yovel, so what does that mean regarding year 50? It's going to be totally on the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Good. That kind of takes us to the first part of today's daf. Next, Ad HaPesach Aser. Okay, Ad HaPesach. So if you go back to the Mishnah, which we saw yesterday, so it takes us to the beginning of the Perek. So the Mishnah went through various units of time, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and then, and one Shemitah cycle, sorry. The Mishnah also mentioned that as well. And then the Mishnah says, what if I made my neder Ad HaPesach? Okay, so two expressions in the Mishnah which are clear, and the third one is unclear. Ad HaPesach Aser Ad She'Yagiyah. So if I say Ad HaPesach, perfect. In other words, basically, I want my neder. In other words, the neder is, in the Mishnah's case, it happens to be no wine. It doesn't matter. But the Mishnah's case, it's no wine until Pesach. Good. So Ad HaPesach means up until Pesach, meaning once Pesach rolls around, enjoy. Right? Yeah, you can drink your dal kosos. Ad Sheyehe, but if I say Ad Sheyehe, until Pesach is here, again, it doesn't really translate so well in English, but then Aser Ad Sheyetze. In other words, that means that I'm abiding by a neder until Pesach is not only coming, but also has been here as well. Which means that I have to be abiding by my neder throughout the entirety of Pesach. Okay, I guess I can ask the question, what do you do regarding Dal Kosos? Okay, I'll let somebody else figure that out. And then Ad Penei, or rather Ad Lifnei HaPesach. So that part is ambiguous. And not only is it ambiguous, it's a machlokas tanaim. So Rabbi Meir Omer Aser Ad She'Yagiyah, and Rabbi Yosi Omer Aser Ad She'Yetze. So when you say Ad Lifnei, so then it becomes a Machlokes HaTanayim. Okay. What is that Machlokes HaTanayim? So the Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah just simply gives us the facts, as what normally the Mishnah does. And so the Gemara entertains the following. Le'Memra. So now we're on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. We're starting at the bottom of the Amud. And this is the second half of today's daf. And so that's the sheet of Rav Meir. I'll explain in just a moment. And Rabbi Yossi, and we're on the top of the Amud Beis, Rabbi Yossi, Savar Meil Anish, Inish Nafshel Esfeka. So the Gemara says, here's the machlokas between these Tanayim. And that is, does the person get involved in a suffix or not get involved in a suffix? And this is the way the Ran understands it. Look, go back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when you said Ad, that's clear. When you said Ad Sheyehe, that's also clear. But then we get to Ad Lifnei, up until before. Now, up until before could be understood as follows. As we all know, there's 7 days of Pesach. Here in Chutz Lahar, it's 8 days. Okay, Ad Lifnei could be understood as right before the first day of Pesach. Meaning, right, there are 7 days of Pesach. Well, which one of those days was I making reference to when I said Ad Lifnei? There are 7 candidates. So according to Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara currently understands it, so it basically is, I'm not interested in getting involved in any kind of suffix. When's the first day of of the 7 days, which one are we hitting first? The first day, right, the first day of Pesach. Good. So in other words, I know there are other options over here, but I'm not, I'm unambiguous. Okay. And I don't get involved in ambiguity, and I don't get involved in the sfeikos. And Rav Yossi, as the Gemara is currently understanding Rav Yossi, when he says Achietze, meaning your neder is going to carry you over through to the end of Pesach, it's because, according to Rav Yossi, when I said Ad Lifnei, maybe I meant the first day. Maybe I meant the second day. Maybe I meant the third day. In other words, then, and am I comfortable with ambiguity? I'm totally comfortable with ambiguity. Okay, good. No, the it's confusing, isn't it? In other words, in you and I, when we you and I speak, so we would describe Pesach as the Yontif, correct? As far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah describes Pesach as the 14th day because that's the day in which the Karban Pesach is being brought, right? In the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, we had that ambiguity as well, where Pesach can be referenced to the actual Yontif itself. Again, we're learning the Nedarim right now. Nedarim follows Lashon B'nai Adam, and you and I call Pesach Pesach, even though you're correct, meaning more accurately, Pesach is the 14th day of Nisan, because that's when the carbon's brought. But we're right now just talking about how we talk, and this is how we talk. And so when you say Ad Lifnei Pesach, and according to Rav Yossi, as the Gemara now currently understands it, people are fine with that ambiguity. I know I said before the end of Pesach, but again, before the day of Pesach, but which day of Pesach? 7 to choose from. I don't know which one I'm referring to. Then Nedra's going to take me to the end of Pesach. Good. So that's the way our Gemara presents the machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, is a person, quote unquote, comfortable with Suffolk. The Gemara says, really, that's interesting. Veriminu. So we're on Samech Alpha Medbeis, and the Gemara is challenging Mishesh Loshtei Kitei Banos Mishtei Nashim. So let's say a person's got four daughters, two wives. Okay, just to make it more confusing. Okay, and now he's got two from his first wife and two from his second wife. And so when the one wife is older, the other wife is younger. Anyway, so it was four daughters from two wives. And he said the following. So v'amar kidashi is biti hagedola. So he makes the following declaration that he was mekadish his oldest daughter. Okay, now I say oldest. Again, by the way, the English doesn't translate perfectly from the Hebrew. Right, thank you. That's better. Because, again, what I'm trying to do, in other words, we have to be precise in language, and that's what Nedarim is all about. And so he said the word Gedola. By you, me saying the word oldest, I'm definitely, right, I'm influencing the jury over here. It's not understood as oldest. Older is probably better. Anyway, here's all what we know. A father can accept kiddush on behalf of his daughter, any one of his daughters, and the general understanding and the assumption is that the father's going to be doing it with his daughter's best interest involved. We all understand that. Anyway, the point over here is as follows: he doesn't identify which daughter it is. So now you have a question of one of his daughters now is an Eishes Ish because he has the right to accept kiddush on their behalf. He didn't identify which one it is. One of his daughters is an Eishes Ish. Which one do we say is, in fact, is a married daughter? So, what do we have over here? The following machlokas. So, Shein Hashem Amar Kiddush is Bita Gedola V'eni Odeim Gedol Sheb Gedol Sim Gedol Sheb Ketanos Im Ketana Sheb Gedol Shehi Gedol Amen Gedol Sheb Ketanos. So, Kulan Asuras Div Rabbi Meir. So, Rabbi Meir entertains any one of the following possibilities. Maybe it's his oldest. Maybe it's the oldest of the younger wife, but in other words, but she's older than her younger sister. So relative to her younger sister, she's the oldest. Or it can even mean daughter number two. Daughter number two is the youngest of his first wife. That's true, but she's also older than the other two daughters of his second wife. Okay, so there is a way to label three of the four girls as Gedola. Of course, the youngest of the younger wives is not going to be there in that label. But in other words, but three out of the four has the possibility of being the Gedola. And what is Rav Meir suggesting is that there's ambiguity in the word Gedola. And you know what? We're going to work with that ambiguity. and therefore the term Gedola could refer to possible three of the four of his daughters. And Rabbi Yossi, Amar Kula Mutaris, Chutzman HaGedola Shebegedolos. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, when he said the word Gedola, people are typically unambiguous, and therefore the word Gedola is only making reference to the oldest of his daughters. So what do we have over here? When a person says something that is open to ambiguity, eligible for ambiguity, and now the question is that, do people like that? Do people live in ambiguity? And Rav Yossi says no. Rav Yossi is of the position that people are typically unambiguous. And Rav Meir says, people can exist with their ambiguity. What's the problem? The problem is that this is exactly the opposite as we had in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in Nedarim, we have the word Ad Pnei HaPesach. And what is that a reference to? The first day, the second day, the third day. So we just explained the Machlokas in our Mishnah exactly the opposite, where Rav Meir is the unambiguous and Rav Yossi is open to the ambiguity. And therefore, Rav Yossi takes the Neder all the way to the end of Pesach, because any one of the days could have been meant. So what are we going to do in order to solve for this problem? There really are two ways to solve for the problem. Our Gemara elects with one way. So there are two ways to explain to solve for the problem. One way is just simply say that we are not saying correct pshat, either in our Mishnah here in Nedarim or regarding the case of the Kedushin. In other words, we're going to have to just simply say a different pshat. And it's not going to be a function of ambiguity, right, unambiguous. That's one possibility. Alternatively, what we could do, which is definitely a more, right, a less sophisticated way, but in other words, we're just going to take one of these Mishnayos, and we're going to just flip the Mishnayos. And oddly enough, interestingly enough, our Gemara goes with that route. So I'm a Rabbi Chanina Bar Avdimi, I'm a Rav Muchlefes Hashita. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to flip, right? Which is definitely a more dramatic move, because what it means is that we're basically going to be editing one of the Mishnayos so that the two Mishnayos align with one another. Vehatanya, but the Gemara says, but over here, you know why we're going to do that? Because we have a supporting Braisa. Right, Vehatanya over here is not a challenge. Vehatanya benichusa. In other words, this Braisa clearly is supporting this move, because the Aklal Kosher is Manukavu of Amar Adlifnei Rav Meir Omer Ashiyetsev Rav Yossi Amar Shiagia. So in other words, unlike our Mishnah, so Rav Yossi is the one who says Ad Shiagia, meaning when I say that I'm not having wine Ad Lifnei Pesach, it means up until the first day of Pesach, meaning because up to but not including. Meaning, Ad Lifnei means I'm referring to one of the days of Pesach, but because I don't want ambiguity, I meant the first. And according to Rav Meir says, no, you have to go to the end of Pesach. Why? Because Ad Lifnei could have meant any one of the days of Pesach. And because it's ambiguous, so I have to work with the ambiguity, and therefore it's going to take me to the end of Pesach. Good. So now what it comes out is that the way we just set up Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is that that would be Muchlefes Hashita, and Rav Yossi now lives with no ambiguity. And that now is perfectly aligned with the Rav Yossi Shita. When a man is Mekadesh, one of his daughters, and we don't know which one it is, we assume it's one of the daughters, the one that is most unambiguous, otherwise known as the oldest of his daughters. Good. So everything works out great. Meaning Rav Yossi is unambiguous, and Rav Meir now exists in ambiguity, and perfect, and everything's good. The Ron points out over here that we have the exact same discussion occurring in the Gemara in Kedushin, meaning that this Gemara that we just learned together, so Mirtz Hashem and Kedushin, we're going to be doing this again. We're going to be learning this entire sugya, meaning we're comparing our Mishnah here in Nedarim and the Mishnah over there in Kedushin. And oddly enough, the Gemara over there doesn't do, in other words, tries to do the Muchlefes Hashita, but then what the Gemara there does is basically say, you know what, there's another way to solve for the problem. Meaning, let's not flip the Shitas around, but rather, let's just explain the machlokesim differently. Meaning, over here in Nedarim, what is the machlokes? The machlokes is, in other words, Lashon B'nei Adam. Meaning, Rav Meir understands Ad Lifnei one way, and Rabbi Yossi understands Ad Lifnei another way. In other words, it's just simply a question of Lashon B'nei Adam. And as far as the man who's Mekadesh's daughters, good. In other words, and that machlokes remains totally independent of our discussion over here. Meaning, that's the Gemara and Kedushin over there. So the Ron is bothered by the obvious question, which is that I have two parallel sugyas, basically each sugya dealing with the same problem. We have a stira between Mishnayos, and how do I deal with the stira? Our Gemara in Nedarim deals with it one way, Muchlefes Hashita, and the Gemara over there in Kedushin deals with it in a different way, In other words, just simply give a different svara for the two Mishnayos. And the two Mishnayos are not operating with the same issue. Good. So which is now, right, this is an interesting question. When I have parallel sugyas on the same question, so which one now is the accepted halacha? Meaning because now it makes a big difference. Meaning we know that when you have a machlokas between Reb Yossi and Reb Mimeir, who does the halacha fall like? The halacha falls like Reb Yossi, right? That's always true. So in other words, so now, if I went with the Mukhlefa Shita, which is our Gemara here in Nadarim, so now I have Rav Yossi having his Shita being flipped, meaning his Shita now is going to be consistently unambiguous, and in the case of Gedol Sheba Gedolos, and in the case of our Mishnah over here, of Ad Pinay, basically it's always going to be one candidate, and that's it. And then when you say Ad Lifnei, it means up to the beginning of Pesach. On the other hand, if we're going to go with the sugya in Kiddushin, we didn't flip Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's Ad Lifnei now takes us to the end of Pesach. And so when you have these two parallel sugyas, so which one now do you go with? Do you go with the one here in Adarim, or do you go with the one in Kiddushin? And the Ran points out, it's a machlokas harishonim, right? He notes that the Rambam and the Ramban disagree on this issue. And but it's interesting, though, because, and this is a easy way to say it, but the Ran himself acknowledges, not everyone says it that way, is that where do you think, in other words, when you have a discussion about Nedarim, so where do you think the main sugya is going to be? Presumably right here in the Masechta called Nedarim. So you would generally think that our Masechta over here would be the quote-unquote the main sugya, and the Gemara in Kiddushin, vis-a-vis Nedarim, is not the main sugya, about Nedarim. Okay, anyway. All this, everything I just said is in the Ran, meaning I didn't say any, I didn't break any ground, just simply spoke out the Ran. Okay, good. I'd cut. Takes us to the end of that sugi over there. And then in terms of harvesting, let's save it. Let's save the harvest discussion for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about harvesting, you know, things that we know plenty about. Everyone except for me, of course. But let's quickly recap our daf today. So our daf today dealt with two basic issues. Number one, when you say ad yovel. Up until the Yovel year. I'm not drinking wine up until the Yovel year. What does that mean? So does that include the Yovel year? Does that not include the Yovel year? Interesting that the Gemara says that's going to be a predicate of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in terms of how to count the Yovel year. Is the Yovel year a standalone year? That's Shitas Chachamim, which would then mean that Yovel really qualifies as the end of a unit. And so therefore, when I say out of Yovel, I'm including the Yovel year. Alternatively, Shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that Yovel is Ola Lakan Lakan. Is that not only is it year 50, it's also year one of the upcoming cycle. So that would mean that, according to Rav Yehuda, Yovel is not really the conclusion. It is and it isn't. It's the end of the cycle, but it's also the beginning of the next cycle. So when I say Ada Yovel, what I really mean is up to year 49. Okay, so then Ada Yovel would presumably be a machlokas Tanayim in terms of which way we go. Do we follow like the Chachamim? Or do we follow like Rabbi Yehuda? And then the second part of today's daf is when you say Ad Lifnei HaPesach. Is that up until day one of Pesach, or is that through the entirety of the Yontif? Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and the Gemara notes that presumably the whole machlokas is a predicate of whether or not a person lives in ambiguity or does not live in ambiguity. So if a person is typically unambiguous, so which day of Pesach did he mean? The first day. In other words, I'm not getting myself involved in which day? In other words, the first opportunity is the first day I meant. Good. That's and in our Mishnah, here comes the tricky part. In our Mishnah, we assigned that Shita to Rabbi Meir, but after the Gemara concluded, the Gemara then flipped it to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because we want agreement between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in Kiddushin. And the Mishnah in Kiddushin, when a man's Mekadosh, one of his daughters, and there are, of his four daughters, three that could qualify as Gedola, but Rav Yossi over there said he meant his oldest. Why? Unambiguous. In other words, a person does not like confusion, and a person only meant one of his four. And when he said Gedola, which is the candidate? The oldest. Good. That's Rav Yossi. So to have Rav Yossi aligned with the Mishnah and Kedushin, our Mishnah over here, so what the Gemara did is it flipped the sheets of Rav Yossi and Rav Meir back in our Mishnah. Adkas.